Well, hey, good morning or afternoon or evening, whenever you're listening to this. This is Stunk Rennie Audio 943, a very professional opening for a change. I am Jeremy. Joining me, as always, whatever, is Chris. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jeremy. How's it going?
Better than last night, that's for sure. I'm in a better mood. We couldn't have done this last night, that's for sure. So that was a rough hour stretch of my life. So, But we are here for a change to give the kind of instant reviews, thoughts on NXT Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania Night 1. We don't usually do this, so this will be different for a change. I guess, you know, you never lead with the big news. You always make them wait. So let's talk about Stand and Deliver a little bit. I know you're not a huge fan of NXT, but what'd you think?
I mostly enjoyed it. I mean, I did feel like the first two matches going so balls to the wall affected the rest of the show.
Yes, I'm with
and
you.
And the crowd reactions, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
no, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was just waiting for you to jump in.
Okay, yeah. No, I agree with you totally. Those first two were so insane. And I was just looking like, okay, the opening tag match, I mean, Kevin and I talked about it. I was like, it's going to be good. Doesn't matter. It's going to be good. And it was. And Bron Breakker just pulling off some insane stuff, which you also have to give credit to Axiom and Nathan Frazier as well, you know, being there at the right time doing stuff. And then I'm like, how are they going to follow that? I'm guessing it's going to be the six-woman tag match, right? Nice little buffer. No, they followed with the North American match, and I'm like, oh boy. And I don't know if they were like, all right, these guys just showed up, everybody, now it's our turn, and everybody else was just like, all right, we're gonna do regular matches. So I enjoyed the hell out of it, though. That would have been fun to be there live, but
it definitely would have.
Yeah, so
definitely,
I guess,
in the consideration set for next year.
Yes. That's okay. So that makes for a long day.
It does make for a long day. I mean, it's a long weekend. I mean, hilariously, especially if it's in Minneapolis, my older brother and I are going to drive. Are going to drive it from Green Bay. That obviously makes the most sense.
Yeah.
He's like more excited about he wouldn't go to NXT because he doesn't watch NXT at all. But he's more excited about doing, you know, maybe doing the four straight nights than I am. It's pretty funny. So that might be what ends up turning into. But yeah, if you and Kevin are in town and you wanted to do NXT, I'd probably be up for it.
Yeah, I remember Kevin, we all went to Dallas, and I insisted on getting there early because I wanted to see Cedric Alexander. No, that was the wrong one. No, I just wanted to get there early for whatever reason. Or we got there early. And that was the Triple H and Roman main event. And we looked at each other and went, we were here for, what was that, 6 hours? 7 hour show, that one? And I apologized. Like, I'm sorry. This is my bad. We're never doing this again. So, but it's kind of would be the same thing. Because NXT was, what, 2.5 hours, roughly?
Yeah, NXT went about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and then I don't know if I sent it to you, I'm sure you saw it, like the video of people, when they opened up the gates for Philly, the stadium, people like rushing to get inside, and that was at like 3 o'clock. And this show didn't end till 11:30, midnight here. Like, oh my God, you're going to be there that long. It's, yeah, that's an exhausting proposition. But
yeah, I mean, you don't need to get there that early to WrestleMania, certainly.
And that's always my thing, like, for ticketed events, why are you running in? Like,
that's
it's not general admission.
Those moments I feel like are staged.
Yes, yes and no. I mean, you can see the people that are like,
I mean, they're excited, but yeah. You know, there's stadium or WWE employees who are encouraging this behavior. Otherwise, they're not. They would, unless they believe that situation is controlled, they're not encouraging you to run.
True. And but what the reason I say it's yes and no is some of the people running, well, no, I guess that would actually be like, hey, do you want to run? Because How do I put this politely? They're not the type that would go running. So there's that. Which, as a quick aside, I know you didn't probably watch any of the stuff on Triller. I'm not sure if you did or not.
No. Okay. No.
There's no way to put this politely. It's a running trope for indie wrestling fans. There's a lot of different ways that I can put this. So I can go funny and call them, there's a fuckable person in the entire room. The median cholesterol has got to be ridiculous. So probably not in high demand. It's embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Like, yeah, no, the modern indie show post pandemic, I couldn't do it anymore.
I counted the amount of women during one of the shows in the crowd. I got up to 12. Now there could be more, and it's like, why? I don't get it. And you know, I really hate when like someone talks about like, oh, you're in your podcast in your mom's basement. Like, really, really. And then, well, yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. I watched everything this weekend, minus whatever shows you had to pay for, like the Josie Pro show. I think it was Josie Pro, or Stardom. Maybe it was Stardom. I didn't pay for that one because that was like $30 on top of whatever. So like, no. And I will say this. I did enjoy watching some of the matches, not all. Like GCW is such a hit and miss thing to me. Like they'll have a good match and then they'll just have one where there's like beating on. I'm like, this is stupid. Like Steph DeLander and some Japanese woman, I don't remember the names, which is part of the production problem. They were doing that whole, you know, like the wooden spike thing. You know, where they put it in the forehead and it pops out like a peacock.
Yeah.
For no reason. Skewers. Thank you, skewers. And I'm like, this is stupid. But anyways, there were some people working their ass off this weekend. Mike Bailey, he was literally on 3 shows in the same day. And they said he was wrestling 10 shows over 3 nights. And I was like, okay. And I actually, like, he's kind of a goofy-looking dude. Like, he seems to, like, put together, you know, like, you cut pictures and then put it together. That's kind of how he's built. But the guy's insanely talented. I don't know where he fits. And like, I know he's in TNA now. I don't know where he fits in the grand scheme of things. Like, if he can go AEW or anything, which there's not anybody, so I guess. But the other person that really stood out, well, Matt Cardona did because, you know, I know this is professional wrestling. He's a professional wrestler. Like, he was in the GCW stuff, and I understand why they hate him. Because everybody else just looks like garbage in that league. You know, all apologies, but that's what you're going for. So, and then the other one was Masha Slamovich. She had some of the best matches of the weekend. She had 3 or 4 in one day. And all of them were good. And I'm like, she's got to be exhausted after this. And I get the feeling, like, she's in TNA right now. I don't expect her to be in TNA much longer once her contract runs out. After seeing this, she's money. As, like, the little, like, you know, little Russian dictator dominator. So, and then, like, GCW doing the collective, I thought was a very good idea, just having these indie events in the same building. Cut down on costs for everybody. You know, production's already there. Don't have to, like, logistics, all that. The only thing is, every show looked the same. The same background, the same floor, the same lighting. It's like, just get a backdrop and change it. Like, spend $1,000 on a backdrop that has your promotion's name on it. Have it go up, and then take it down, have the next one go up. Just something. But that's really about it. Like, there was just, I did get to see my first blow-up doll match. And I got to see Dan the Dad versus Chien. Or Chien? It used to be a mascot for a Japanese city until it started doing, like, legitimately weird stunts and dangerous stunts. So they dropped it over public pressure. And now it's a wrestler. Yeah, exactly. So this thing comes in. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I was entertained to no end.
Yeah. See, now that's what I would probably, if I did any indie shows over WrestleMania weekend, it would not be the work rate special promotions or whatever. Because that would just get numbing.
Yeah.
It would be the goofy shit.
Yeah, well, I...
Truly goofy, not... Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm more tolerable of deathmatch stuff than you are, but it would be... I think I would just want... You know what? I just want to laugh. I would just, you know, do something that would make me laugh.
Yeah, and it did. And to their credit... Oh, this also goes to my announcing point. To their credit, the announcers treated it as real. There was no tongue-in-cheek. There was no, like, what is this? It was Chitin's going off throat, like, it was like a Naked Gun. Like, Naked Gun doesn't work, or like those satire spoof movies don't work if you treat it as if you're like, oh, this guy's an idiot. Like, no. You just go with the jokes, and then it ends. And, like, to their credit, they treated it as real, including, like, I'd seen those clips of, like, you know, the blow-up doll stuff. That I can't remember the guy's name, unfortunately. He's super talented. He made it believable that this blow-up doll was real by his, like, sleight of hand, or, like, basically magic. Like, he's moving around, and he's moving around this doll's arms and legs. Like, he put him in an arm lock, I think a sharpshooter at one point. And you didn't, like, obviously it's a doll, but you didn't, like, go, well, this is stupid. It was like, wait, but how's he doing this? And, of course, he loses, but... You know, it was just fun, but they put him back to back. Like, the blow-up doll saved Chitian. And then the blow-up doll went into a match. So, but yeah, it's also one of those things where, like, you tell your friends how great wrestling is, you invite them over, and all of a sudden, a blow-up doll and a mascot show up, and you're like, ah, damn it. And then hopefully it wins them over. So... But yeah, oh, and then one last thing on the indie weekend stuff. I've never seen Effie before. That wasn't what I expected. I don't know why, it just wasn't. And then Mance Warner, he's totally changed his look. It looks like he hits a gym now. It's crazy. He's grown his hair out. He looks like a psycho now. It's pretty sweet. I mean, I was never a huge fan of his. I'm not saying I am now, but it's like I appreciate the work. And then one last thing, can we get to NXT again? I don't know what Veda Scott does. Like, after we do one of these shows, like, we're only doing this for an hour and a half, and I know we don't take breaks, but I'm like, all right, I get some water or something. She covered almost all weekend for almost all the shows, and she never sounded any different. It's crazy. Like, I guess Honey and Honey Lemon Tea, like, works pretty well. But one thing that drove me crazy was no matter who was the promotion, her T's were off the charts, along with her P's were popping like crazy. And I'm like, can someone please back her off the mic or put the sleeve over it? And that's it. And everything would be fine. Weird observation, I know, but that's me. So, but anyways, NXT. quick rundown of the weekend. And no, I didn't see Supercard of Honor. So we got the first match, Axiom, blah, blah, blah. The Wolf Dogs, who actually have Wolf Dog shirts now. This kind of just delivered exactly what I thought. What'd you think?
I didn't have a lot of thoughts about it. I mean, I've enjoyed what I've seen of Corbin and Braun Breaker together. I spent a huge amount of time with Frazier and Axiom.
Yeah.
But this match went wild. No, they did everything under the sun. It was a video game match in the best way. I love the hell out of it. You know, Braun Breaker is absolutely a star.
Yeah.
Honestly, at this point, they should probably, since they've pulled Braun Breaker from SmackDown, again, it seems like, Because I figured like him winning the Andre was like a slam, women like a slam dunk, but he wasn't even in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what? Just relaunch him by bringing the Wolf Dogs to Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Kevin too. That's why they work very well together. It's the Baron Corbin's Baron Corbin, although he's been very good with Braun, just being like the disgusted old man. You know, just exasperated all the time. That sort of stuff WWE does really well. But the one, like, you know, Braun Breaker's speed on the ropes, one, I'm always like, are they going to break eventually? Like, it almost seems like that's a built-in angle. Like, he's going to win a match, like a big match or something. He does that and they break, and that's what causes him to lose. And then the other one, he jumped on the top. He jumped up to the top rope, flexed, and with no hands to balance or brace himself, gives, was it Axiom? The, well, Frankensteiner slash Hunakanrana off the top. And I just shot out of my chair like, oh my God. I mean, he didn't even brace himself. It was crazy. So yeah, but yeah, and then I thought the right people won too, but even though I called Axiom winning, but you know, can't get everything. The shock of the night, which I thought this match was going to be good, but it had no way to expect this. The North American title match, Obafemi, Dijak, and Josh Briggs. No, or is it Brooks? I always get it backwards. Anyways, him. What an insane match.
It was absolutely insane. And believe me, I have never been a fan of Dijak. I've expressed that here.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Briggs has never really done anything for me. And Obafemi, I just haven't seen enough.
Yeah.
But I want to see more.
Yes,
this,
absolutely.
This was the perfect match for all these guys. This, you know. Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of this. It was physical. It was dynamic. It was definitely. I mean, it's not a coming out party for Dijak. I mean, his die is cast, basically. I mean, the guy's he's over 40, and it's never really happened for him. So it's probably not. Briggs, I don't know. Briggs again looked good here. And then there's Obafemi, who is probably going to be fast tracked to the main roster, but part of me hopes he doesn't.
No, I think he's got to stay down there a little bit longer. I guess this is a topic for a different show, but it's like NXT has so many people that you can say it's okay to call them up, but the main roster doesn't have room. You know? Like, SmackDown is at least 30 minutes of talking by one group, unless that changes after tonight. So it limits, like, the amount of people who can actually be up there. So, but, yeah, I was watching this. Like, I know, like, they were kicking each other a lot and this, but then I also thought this is just how I always work, the camera work really lent itself to some of the drama as well. They were doing, like, tight shots. They would do the long, so, like, they would give you the surprise by doing it, which they do it a lot, but it just seemed more exaggerated than this. But then, like, add the physicality. That electric chair Death Valley driver spot, you don't see big dudes like that. And I know Dijak's, like, really tall, but he's not, like, bulky big, but he's a big guy. And he has, what, he had Briggs on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then, so, Femi did the electric chair. Dijak did the Death Valley driver, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, everyone in that match is at least 6'5". That you don't see that. And I was like, this is crazy. So I didn't really care who won in the end. But yeah, Obafemi, he's got something going on. And for a guy that's only been doing this on TV for less than a year, oof. You know, like, all right. I can't remember the order. What was next? I guess it doesn't really matter. But yeah, the women's 6-way match. It was fine. You know, like...
Yeah, this... The whole storyline has just gotten so contrived, yeah. And it was entertaining until you start realizing it wasn't going to make any sense. Like JC Jane started like there was I brought this up with Kevin. There was no transition to her starting to act like a bitch to Helia Hale. None.
No.
Just one week she's keeping up the facade, and the next week she's not.
Mm-hmm.
And the other girl with her, I will never remember her name.
Jasmine Nix.
Yeah, who cares?
Who got involved with a bum shoulder?
Yeah, once again, and yeah, I don't care. There's too many of these damn women running around. There's probably too many guys too, but the women, it's a real problem.
Because they all have goofy ass names.
They all have goofy ass names. Some of them look way too much alike, mm-hmm. And it's goofy names. Not enough time set to certain people.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole chase, once again, individually, a lot of the Chase U's going broke skits were funny. But the whole storyline is just an absolute mess. Because Andre Chase got into gambling debt with Tony D'Angelo. He did this of his own free will. He decided to do this. And JC Jane really did save the school. Like, she made all that money off the calendars, and she paid off their debt. How is she the bad guy? How is she the bad guy?
Because she chose to hang out with somebody else.
Well, then why didn't they have her pocket the money?
Well, yeah, there's that, and it's like, we're going to spend way too much time on the storyline, but... So she tells Thea Hale, I never liked you. Well, then why did you do all this stuff? Like, what benefit?
Because she wanted attention or something, or people weren't paying attention. It was so dumb.
Yeah,
it's really dumb, and only to get us back to where we already were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and with Thea Hale, once again, I can find the hyper Thea Hale, I get some enjoyment out of it. I mean, she's not terrible, and she obviously still needs a lot of time.
Yeah, that's why everyone was saying this should have been JC Jane versus Thea as a singles. And it's like I don't know, not on this.
They'll do that in an episode of NXT.
Yeah,
and, you know how NXT's it's very formula how NXT feuds go. They'll probably have a singles match that JC Jane will cheat to win. Then they'll do some kind of anything goes or cage match on one of those free NXT and those special episodes of NXT, and that's what Thea Hale will win, and they'll that'll be the blow off.
Yeah, and then it's like it was what it was. It was fine. It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible. I mean, there were some clunky spots.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to notice them more after after the first two matches were, with everything being hit so crisply in the first two matches, and yet you're going to have all these girls, six girls. I'm not sure they have 5 years of experience combined at this point, and they're not wrestling regularly, or they only just began wrestling regularly on those Florida high school shows or whatever. It was never going to be a great match. And again, as I said, the storyline is stupid. And that's all I got to say about it.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it's coming to an end either. I don't know. It didn't feel final.
Once again, it's fine. Thea Hale and JC Jane have one or two more matches to fill time, whatever. Once again, as I said, NXT non-title grudge feuds are very formula in how they go.
Yeah. So then... Roxanne Perez was next, correct?
Yes,
because they followed with two women's matches. And then in between is when they announced the North American women's title, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Which, just like you said, they have so many women. I mean, they actually...
And they got rid of the tag belt, the NXT exclusive tag belt.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. Does all the totality of WWE need another championship? Really? Probably no.
But for them, the women have always had storylines outside of titles,
right?
So I guess that another one's not so bad.
It's not, no, for this, no. It's not, for this, it's not so bad. No, it's it's it it, it's fine. It'll give him something to do, and hopefully we can, you know, really hone in and focus on a set crew of women, and not, hey, here's this brunette, here's this blonde, whose name I can never remember.
Yes, exactly. The one I do remember is Brinley Reese, only because that name is annoying as hell.
Is she the one who looks just like Thea Hale?
Yeah, she's hyper just like Thea Hale.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, and not make him a tag team. Make him a tag team. You know, just like the hyper girls or hyper sis. I don't know. Anyways, then we have Roxanne. We spent way too much time on that one. We spent more time on that than the tag title. You got Roxanne Perez, Lia Valkyria. I thought this was good, but this was also like the turn of the show where they became normal matches. You know what I mean? Like, the first two were so high in spots and, like, the excitement and craziness, where this one just sort of started turning everything into normal. And I think, I don't think the crowd reacted, like, it's like dropping you off the cliff. Like, no, I guess that doesn't work. Like, rolling down a hill. You're like, all right, by the end, you're like, I'm exhausted. Like, let's get back to the excitement of the thrill of rolling first. I thought the match was good. I was glad Roxanne won. I don't know. There's something about Lia Valkyria just doesn't do it for me. Like, it's not hitting right, where Roxanne's been okay the whole time, and then this little heel thing, like, little girl heels are always kind of fun, especially if they act like a badass, like she's acting like. So it made sense, but it seemed almost kind of one-sided in places. And Kevin pointed it out. He's like, yeah, that was kind of a dominant win. So I don't know where you go from here. I mean, outside of the shoulder injury angle and the, what's her name, Tatum Paxley? Goth girl? Or a suburban goth girl?
Yeah, I know they're going for the Trish Mickey thing here, but it's not landing. Mm-mm. Because all Tatum Paxley ever does when she gets involved is just get knocked around. I have no reason to believe that she can beat anybody.
Yeah, yes. Well, I don't know if she ever has.
I don't think she has either. I mean, she literally had to be carried from the ring because she got beaten so badly in a match. I know they were going for the Trish Mickey quasi-lesbian shit, but it's not landing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's like, all right, so now, I don't know, Valkyria goes to the end of the line again, because that's usually what happens with the NXT women, and you've got a bunch of other people, I guess.
Yes. Oh, I mean, there's so many people. Yeah. It's like, just take your pick who's next, really.
Yeah, and we'll see. Like, it again, it's like I mentioned before, like, we can't keep saying they go up to the main roster. But, like, Valkyria would get lost on the main roster.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. I mean, look at what happened with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, even though we've now discovered the two reasons that Isla Dawn was gone. No. So,
but now here's where I will disagree with. I can disagree with you. I will disagree with you and Kevin. And this kind of goes with all our thoughts on NXT. Is the NXT women's division really that deep, or are there just a lot of bodies?
I know what you mean. Yeah, I think there's a lot of bodies, but there's also women. Like, I guess they're using that NXT Level Up show as a showcase for people who aren't on NXT. Like, they're
but
taking on. I've never.
But it's
I don't,
fine. It's actually fine to have a show nobody watches. That.
Yeah, I don't know where you find it.
It's on Peacock right after SmackDown.
Is it real? Okay. Yeah. I honestly had no idea. I've seen like video clips on YouTube, and I was like, oh, okay, another show, which I don't know how I haven't added, but I do have to sleep sometimes, and I was like, okay, but they're always names I don't recognize, except I'm sorry. One name I do, one name I don't. And those are the ones that they're trying to showcase are the ones that you don't. Cool. So, yeah, I think there's just so many bodies. And I guess the line blurs, just like you were presenting, like deep or a lot. And, like, I don't know, like, Ariana Grace, I guess she's okay in the ring. Gigi Dolin's okay in the ring.
Gigi's just fallen. Like she's just falling off.
Yeah,
a lot.
I don't know what happened.
I don't think there's there's a lot to her. I mean, she fell through the cracks. You know, Jacy James found something at least. She's got nothing really going for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, once again, okay, Roxanne is solidly a heel.
Yeah.
Take Leah Rick Hill, you're out of the situation. Who is the next top babyface in the NXT women's division?
You're not gonna like it. I think for babyfaces, it's got to be Thea Hale, right?
It is Thea Hale, but that's right. Not gonna. But that can't be next.
Yeah.
She still hasn't beaten Jacy.
Well, you know they've had an. What about Sel Rocha? Regardless of what you think of her,
I just haven't seen enough. I'm guilty of fast forwarding through a bunch of NXT, which I probably shouldn't, because that's the whole point of NXT, to watch people develop, even if I don't think that they're hot stuff now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the whole issue with their developmental brand being on USA Network and prime time.
Yes, and but the thing is,
look at all these independent shows and your Trillers and your IWTV. It's like no one can just have a match that isn't being aired somewhere.
Yes, and boy, there's a lot of people out there that I'm going to say this is supposed to be taken politely. There are so many people out there I've never heard of and probably won't, because you can see talent, you can see what other people are looking for, and it doesn't mean they won't develop like NXT, but it's like, oh, okay, this was like going back to the office on Monday. Man, I wrestled 5 matches this weekend. Like, cool. So that's just like kind of like the women's division. There's just so many of them. And you're not going to remember, but yeah, like Sel Rocha, though, I'm with you. She's got the fun vibe of the hippie surfer chick. And she has cool moves. That's all I know. Outside of doing, like, goofy TikTok videos. So, but yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody else. It could have been Gigi Dolin. The crowd loved her, but yeah, just fell off the face of the earth for the most part. And I was in this weird-ass angle with Ariana Grace. Obviously not Blair Davenport. What happened to Wendy Chu?
I have no idea.
She was fun, finally, when she, like, stopped doing the dumbass act. And I know she got hurt, but is she that hurt? Like, it seems like it's been 2 years. I don't think it has, but it sure as hell seems like it. I mean, she was supposed to be a babyface, even though she sucked. So, she was not my favorite. So, but, yeah, so no, to answer your question, yeah, I don't know. After this, we have Ilya and Tony D. I think it picked up in the second half of it. And I just think Ilya Dragunov, and I'm sure we're going to disagree, I just think Ilya Dragunov is a world of his world all his own. And as long as you do his match, it's going to come off looking awesome. But if you don't, it comes off as awkward. Like that whole Stax, I don't know if you saw him in Stax on TV.
Yes. Stacks. Yeah.
It made no sense.
It's starting to look like is there going to be a mutiny in the family, and Tony's going to lose his family?
I don't know, you know?
I mean, the problem is the gimmick and how Tony D'Angelo has developed over the last 2 years. Tony D'Angelo and the gimmick is ready for prime time, you know, meaning Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
But the rest of them aren't.
No, actually not.
Who else is Italian on Raw or SmackDown that they could put with Tony D? Who they could just fit right into the gimmick?
No one we'd know. Then all of a sudden they'd just be Italian. You're like, wait, you what? Like, where'd this come from?
Well, that's how the FBI worked.
Yeah, well, yeah. One of the goofiest things ever, but But yeah, like I don't know.
I mean, I guess I don't really know if any of the other three really are Italian.
Well, the one girl's name is Rizzo. Isn't that all we need?
And then, well, yes, exactly. And Adriana, of course, you know, right off of a character from The Sopranos, yes.
Which I did enjoy.
You know exactly what she's supposed to be, yeah.
I did enjoy The Sopranos entrance, like the beginning. That was great.
That was phenomenal, yes. So, as I said, Tony and the gimmick are already. So I guess if the rest of them want to, you know, do their own thing and... But I think he's not going to be the NXT champion. I think it might be time for Tony D'Angelo for them to figure out how this works on the main roster.
But don't we have enough gangs on the main roster?
Well, you can never have enough gangs.
Yeah, that's true. It is Triple H. So I mean, we saw that on night one for the most part. But the match, like I said, didn't really take off, and this is seemingly becoming a thing for a lot of wrestlers. People yelling all the damn time. Like, screaming. And I'm like, stop. Like, I know your hand hurts. And it's like, after a while, and they kept saying, well, hopefully the referee won't stop the match. And it's like, well, one, if that would have happened, I'd be like, why? And then two, if his hand was that bad, right, why is he cleared to wrestle? So the over-exaggeration of pain and this, it's just like, oh, man, come on. And then once they drop it, which, you know, I'm all for selling, but it's like once they drop it, it gets going, and yeah, it's like, all right, this is working. And I really thought, like, the second half of the match just picked up and was what I expected the whole match to be. I mean, Tony D, Kevin and I talked about it, was a real wrestler, you know? Like, college wrestler, all that stuff, and he should be a badass, and that's what I was hoping to get the whole time. So, I thought, and I didn't think for one second, I thought this hurt. I didn't think for one second Ilya was going to lose.
No, I did not think so either. No, I feel like that title is still earmarked for Trick Williams, I think.
Well, let's get into this then. I didn't think the main event was bad.
No.
It just underperformed.
It did underperform. And less time. They didn't gimmick it up like they do with a lot of these standard liver matches where there's always that one anything goes match or lights out or whatever. They didn't do that. They didn't go far enough. And then what they did, it wasn't enough. I mean, we know Carmelo Hayes is finally going to be full time on mm-hmm. SmackDown probably. And then, God, I feel like there's still too many holes in his game that are going to be exposed.
I think this may have been...
They were exposed in the match with Kevin Owens, to me. Which was a silly match because they were both faces. And...
Yeah, but I think what you just said, though, is kind of what happened here. Trick even admittedly says he hasn't been doing this that long. You know, like, on TV. Like, remember, he started as a comedy act. Remember, he was, like, the guy doing the boxing gimmick with Mello. And had bad matches. And then, you know, got away from it and he's become better. But even, like, him and Ilya was good when Ilya was taken over. So, this just, I don't know. I would watch it the whole time, like, why isn't this going anywhere? And it's like, well, if Melo's the heel, he's supposed to be calling it, right?
Yeah.
Well, what happened then? Like, and you know, like, Mello is one of Shawn Michaels' guys, so you know they got to be prepared. So it's like, did something get lost in the execution? Whenever something goes bad like this, and I hesitate to say bad, but it didn't go as planned, or up to expectations, how's that? It just seemed like something went wrong. But I could never see where, like, someone got hurt, they called an audible, or whatever else. And then it really just ended out of the blue. Like, it didn't seem to me like there was a lot of build that you would normally expect. And I guess that's where
No,
I
it
was.
wasn't.
I was talking about like the matches becoming normal all of a sudden, you know? I don't know. Is that like the impression you got, or?
Okay, it absolutely was, and yes, and you saying that Melo's just not that guy. No, Trick has all the intangibles. It feels like he needs the seasoning, and it seems like he's gonna get it. He's gonna sure work with Ilya and others more, and yeah, Trick really seems like he'll have the whole package to put together, including size, whereas Melo is going to be so exposed on the main roster, from his height to his ability to work to kind of a that cool character. And yeah, I can see it. I don't predict big things for him, actually.
All right. So before we get off of this, do you think this Trick Mello feud has actually hurt Mello?
I
Because
think her,
of like just what you said.
yeah,
Trick's bigger.
and Trick was such a part of the package.
Yeah. But it's like
Yeah.
Trick is everything that we all thought Mello would be until we saw the complete, like, I'm gonna say air quotes, completed package. Taller, better talker, more dynamic. And believe me, I still am a fan of Melo. But as this has gone on, it's just been like, I don't know. I don't think this is doing him any favors. I don't think this match last night or like yesterday afternoon did any favors either. So, weird way to end the show. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Like, and there was nothing after. Like, all right, so he's celebrating. And there was just nothing after. Oh, we did forget to mention Julia showed up in the crowd. So,
Once again, never seen a single full match of hers, so
no.
I'll take everyone else's word for how good she
Well,
is
one thing I will
until I
say
see it.
is she's beautiful.
Yes,
So
definitely is.
I was like, wait, what? Okay. So we got our break for a while, which I filled with other independent wrestling shows. And it was funny, Kevin sent out a tweet through Stunt Granny, like, this is gonna, I can't wait till Sunday night, like, for a break after Sunday night. And I just went, man, we don't get a break until next Sunday. What are you talking about? Like, we have WrestleMania 2, WrestleMania Night 2, Monday Night Raw, NXT, AEW. If you have TNA, you can watch TNA Thursday. Friday is SmackDown and Rampage. You got Collision on Saturday. And then next Sunday? Exactly. Silence.
Yeah.
Like, all right. So.
Well, I don't know how much I
know.
probably will do my breeze through of NXT. I'll watch Dynamite. I will never watch TNA again. Of course, I say that every few years until I'm talked into doing it, and then I regret it. Then obviously I'll watch. I don't know. Maybe I'll be out Friday night, and then I'll have to catch that SmackDown on Friday. Collision has fallen
Yeah.
purely into B-show territory, so it's not a priority to watch live at the very least. So I have my ways to maintain my sanity.
Well, it's not like, I mean, it's not that I'm not complaining, mind you,
No.
but it's
No.
like, you know, I think you've mentioned before, like, where do you guys find the time for all this? I am lucky to work at home, and I'm lucky that I work fast, so I have plenty of time to turn the chair and watch. And sometimes I don't. I just listen. You know, like sometimes, like Rampage, I don't need to watch. I can just listen to it.
But why not watch something else?
Oh, no, I do. Yes.
I was gonna say, I
We
know,
haven't known each other
right?
that long. Like, obviously, not as long as Kevin and I.
Yeah.
My brain usually is on six or seven things at once. Like, remember when I used to play video
Right.
games when we did this because I needed to concentrate on what I was saying? That was a real thing. So I've kind of like finally overcome that, but I don't know. I hesitate to bring this up, but you mentioned Dynamite on Wednesday. Did you see this tomfoolery they're doing supposedly Wednesday?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay. And I know we can save
Oh.
this for a different show, but this seems so Bush League, and I know Punk did his thing, but again, we talked about this. The vast majority don't know about it. Why are you taking time away to show this stuff?
Yeah, I don't. I think it'll be a troll. I think it'll be a troll job to get heat on the Young Bucks, because it's the Young Bucks introducing the footage. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen that part.
Well, I was listening to take it for what it is, Meltzer and Alvarez, and they said it's not a troll job; it's real.
Well, we'll see.
So,
you know what? If the guys don't, just like the Copeland thing on Wednesday, don't do this on your TV show.
Exactly.
If the guy lied about something, then take him to court. Leave me out of
that. But it's all right. And we can end after this one, because we have far more important things. Isn't this exactly what CM Punk is saying, though?
Exactly. Yes.
He goes,
it is exactly.
Tony Khan's a nice guy, but he's not a boss. He's like, okay.
Well, he also has some. He also does have that part of him that's maybe more Vince McMahon-like than he'd want to admit. Mm. He can be vindictive. He can be bitter. He can. He will hold grudges, too.
And it's like, okay.
And he'll let it affect his business. He probably lets it affect his business more than Vince ever would.
Yeah, at least Vince turned it into storylines. Well, I say at least, because as we're finding out, hey boy, some of those storylines he turned them into. But, just, it's like, you're a fool. I don't care if it proves CM Punk wrong. I don't. You're a fool for doing this.
They have let this dark cloud hang over their head and negatively affect every part of their business for nearly 2 years now.
Yeah.
Tony Khan has shown no ability to take control after things got out of control.
Yeah.
Whereas WWE has spent this entire it's to the point of comedy, really, of just like, oh my god, how I love, you know, Michael Cole every 5 seconds. I love working for Triple H. Oh my god, everything's so great now.
Yeah.
But that is how you handle a crisis. That is how you steer the ship away from a crisis and try to make something positive out of it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, which has been one of the funniest things and most enlightening things, starting with the Hall of Fame, going into all these different press junkets, interviews.
The Pat McAfee show, Logan Paul show.
All this stuff.
Yeah, this whole weekend has been about kissing Triple H's ass.
Yeah.
Basically.
And it's like, well, all right. See, I took it a different way. I took it as a big, well, oh, Vince is gone? Vince is finally gone?
Fuck this guy. It's that, too. It's basically, you know, once again, just moving towards doing the national anthem over America the Beautiful is just shoveling dirt on Vince, basically.
And then Triple H changing the beginning, which is fine. I mean, you got to freshen it up, but using his own voice. That was Triple H talking.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, this is mine now. And it's like, I just want to be, like, was the fly on the wall? Yeah. During a family get-together for the McMahons.
Oh.
I just want to see, because it's one of two things. I don't think there's any gray area. Vince is like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? I just have to put up with this. Or it's like, I'm really proud of what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, think about it. The Hall of Fame was probably the first time in over a year that Triple H and Stephanie have been videoed or photographed together.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's really going on in their house either.
Yeah. And Stephanie looking good still. Like,
she looked damn good in that hat.
And the Hall of Fame. What did you think
about the Hall of Fame being booked like an episode of Saturday Night Live or Saturday Night's Main Event? Let's just put the most important thing on first and let everyone go home.
Yeah. Supposedly a lot of people were leaving.
Why wouldn't you?
From what I was read. So they actually had to say The Rock will be out later. And then, yeah, Paul Heyman going first, and it's like, why? Like, I thought it was weird. The whole Hall of Fame after SmackDown's weird to me anyways.
The whole thing is weird. This class was so weird.
Yeah.
Because you don't want that many elderly people stuttering and stammering through their speeches.
And then add somebody whose first language is not English?
Yes.
So, Yeah, it's...
Yeah. And, oh my God, using the widow of Muhammad Ali to give The Rock a fake belt. to heal the widow of Muhammad Ali.
It's so cringy. Like, I'm guessing that plays into something later.
I mean, he's but, probably walking around with that thing. Yes.
I mean, he brought it to ringside. I'm like, really? And I get, but I also took a step back and went, okay. Like, when him and Roman finally turn on each other, that can be used.
Yeah.
Like, Roman's like, you're so jealous, you created your own belt. Like, some mark or, you know, something like that.
Well, go. Cody could use that, too. Because I think, I do think we're getting Cody and, well, this is jumping way ahead, but I think we're getting Cody and Rock one-on-one before we get to Rock and Roman.
Yeah, so let's get to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
We can get to that. Really, some of these don't even really need a whole lot of dissection. Like, we'll just start with those. Like, Ray Santos, all that. Fine. You know, it really wasn't anything. It was just fine. And that's all it really needed to be. Andrade looked good. What was Ray's homage there?
I did not catch it.
Cause
during that match is when our food arrived and we were, making sense of that. It was my least important match of the show, and so it looked great. I mean, Del Toro doing his launch off the middle rope again.
Yes,
great. I'm glad he did that at WrestleMania. That's perfect. And then you figured they were in Philadelphia, that Jason Kelsey was going to involve himself. They picked the least important match they could to have a little fun moment, so that was fine.
At first I was like, who the hell is this? And I'm like, they don't look like wrestlers. And then I saw the Philadelphia Eagles colors. I'm like, oh, it's football players. I thought it was Travis Kelsey and Jason Kelsey. And then I went, it can't be Travis because he plays for Kansas City. So then I was like, oh, okay. And yeah, it was fine. But did you notice Carlito? Like, everyone else is like, hey, who are you guys? Carlito's back there, and he actually goes, who the fuck are you guys? Like, all angry. Which I know is, like, supposed to, like, Carlito's supposed to be, like, giving little hints that he's not happy. But it was just cracked me up how angry he looked. For guys
and boy,
that help.
Boy, am I excited about Rey Mysterio versus Carlito in 2024.
Maybe it'll be I guess Andrade is going to go with against Escobar or Dom. I guess.
Well, God. I would just not. I would not put those two together for very long.
No.
Yeah, they need. They've already said. Triple H has already said that there's going to be a draft. So yeah, we'll see how everything goes.
Yeah. Okay. So the other one was the six woman match. Again, fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It was what it was supposed to be, a showcase for Jade Cargill, and they did that.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd wasn't really into it early. No one believed Damage Cole was going to win this thing, nope. so there was no heat to the heat segment.
Mm-hmm.
But people reacted well enough to, Bianca's offense and certainly Jade's offense, so
yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah, that's all it was fine. That's all it needed to be. It was a way to get Jade on without having a singles match, because still has work to do. But
yeah,
she can still, with that, especially Paul Heyman saying he's working with her, well, I mean, hopefully it works out. She is something else. Like,
yes.
She just, even with, Bianca, who's something else too, Naomi, who's just, she's such a cutie. Like, she's such a, like, Naomi to me always just comes off as, like, this nice person. No matter what it is. So she, like, she's, like the plucky friend with him, the lack of words. But Jade just looks something otherworldly. And Asuka's makeup was cool as hell. That stuff looked really cool this time. Like, kind of like ghostly, space ghostish sort of thing. But not space ghost. So, but yeah, the match was fine. And as expected, Dakota ate the pin. What else did we? What else? So those were like the two inserts, right?
That was the filler matches that were added in the last week. Yes, the other ones on night two, but they made that a street fight, so that'll at least have more going for it.
See,
I guess
Okay, here's, and I know we're not doing this stuff much anymore. What I would actually like the street fight to be, and I thought of this last night. Remember Piper and Goldust from
Yeah.
Wrestle? I would like something like that. Have these guys start somewhere else and have them fight through the show and then have them get in the ring as the buffer.
No, you could do something like that. Yeah.
Just something. They call it a Philadelphia street fight. Well, then let's run the streets of Philadelphia and have fun. You know? But, and we know it won't be, so it doesn't matter. But, all right, so
You
where.
know what? Now, actually, that's a weird play. Because there was some any guy, I don't remember who he was, said, I wanted to, or we should have gone to the alley where they filmed the fight in Rocky Five and had a match there.
Oh my God, what a genius. That would have been great. Yeah, that would have been great. There was the House of Glory match. They actually did go outside into the traffic. And what was funny was they purposely, stopped. Like, they clearly didn't have a permit for this. They actually had cars in the background blocking people from going down the street. Somebody took a left and just swerved out of the way and just started blaring the horn. Like, they were pissed.
No, you keep.
I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what it was now. But so I guess we have four matches. Let's start happiness. Or should we
Well, no, then there's five.
what did I miss? I'm sorry.
Wait.
We have the
Well,
main event.
we've only talked about two matches, right?
What else am I missing? I've got, well, all right. So all right, let's just start here. Rhea and Becky, as expected, was really good. And I mean, she made Rhea look dominant. That wasn't even, it wasn't a close match at the end. Rhea just beat her.
Yeah, I think Becky's taking some time off at the very
Yeah,
least.
it definitely seems like it, yes.
Yeah, she needs to figure something out because it does feel like she's done it all and there and she's at a crossroads.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, and maybe it's a phenomenon that happens with the women more than the men, the feeling that once they get to a certain point, they've done it all, whereas a male wrestler could do this until their 50s and 60s. Well, obviously there's obviously reasons for that, but yes. It feels like, yeah, it's definitely feeling like she needs to figure out, how she can keep going with this.
Yeah, and that's what it kind of felt like at the end. Like I honestly half expected like a handshake or a hug thing at the end, the way it was going. 'Cause like last year, Rhea won. Charlotte was outside like going, "Yep." Like, "Yep." And then like with a smile. But Becky this time was in the corner just like, "This sucks." Like she didn't look happy. It wasn't like, "All right, she was just better." It was almost, I mean, I don't want to say pouting, but it was definitely an unhappiness. And I know she lost, but it seemed more than that. And maybe, she kept looking around, so maybe you're right. And because I do agree with you, she's going to take some time off. And who knows how long that'll be. I mean, as a new mom, relatively new mom still. And Seth, I mean, who knows? Seth may take off for a while too if he loses.
That's true too. That's true too, yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it was, I enjoyed it. I don't, what was the name of the band? Ice Nine Kills something?
I don't
Ugh.
remember, no. No.
It's,
I mean,
there's,
it definitely added something, yeah.
it sure did.
Oh, what? You
I
didn't like it?
just, I think that stuff is so douchey. Like, I'm sure Kevin will disagree. I hate that stuff because it's meticulously crafted corporate music under the guise that these guys are these dangerous, look at us heavy metal guys. So right there, the aesthetics and the sound, I fucking hate. I hate that stuff. And then singing to Rhea singing her own music, and I'm like, stop singing your own music. I don't like when anyone does it. And like, isn't it even like a goof like for wrestlers who listen to their own music while they work out? That was like an old timers thing. So I'd rather the band just play it Like, Motorhead played for Triple H. That was cool as hell. Because, one, you know, Motorhead's supposed to be, you know, not underground, but, like, this down-and-dirty, you know, metal band. But here they are at WrestleMania. Like, they're not supposed to be there. And then Triple H is just like, yep, and it goes down. Instead of, like, singing the song, getting in the lead singer's face, and the lead singer clearly not singing until they turn his mic on. Which, by the way, the lady who sang the national anthem, that was really good.
Yeah, that was really good.
She was actually singing it. You could hear the timber and the modulation on the microphone, all that stuff. I was like, I'm super impressed. Anyways, go back to this. No, I hate that stuff. Just let them play. You do your shit over on the side and let the wrestler be the star. Like, get the fuck out of the shot. I hated it. That's just a matter of taste, by the way. I'm sure other people enjoy it. So, but yeah, the match was good.
And then, where does Rhea Ripley go from here? I mean, I guess you can get a B show or two out of her and Liv Morgan.
Yes,
what's the next end game? Is it Bianca? Is it Jade?
Well, those are two on SmackDown. Unless you said they were going to do a draft. Because Nia Jax is done. I can see them pulling the Liv thing out for a few months.
Yeah, that's probably the. My whole thing with Liv Morgan was they shouldn't have even brought her back until after WrestleMania. Right. She's done nothing.
Yeah, but then what about Charlotte? She said she's getting ready.
You know what? You can definitely.
Especially if Andrade is on Raw. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure her Andrade will be on the same show, and then. Well, I mean, they still never really done a proper Charlotte Bianca. I'm sure Charlotte would love to work with Jade. They've done Charlotte versus Rhea before, but they could do it again, and obviously it was a great match when they did it, and they never followed up with a rematch of any kind. So you can do that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, so there's that. It'll at least take you to...
But, like, what are the tentpole matches you can do at, like, SummerSlam and then at WrestleMania, I guess, is what I'm thinking. You know, the B-shows, you can do whatever you want.
Well, if they do a draft, there's always Tiffany Stratton. And I know it seems like really quick, but man, people seem to love her. So.
Tiffany, I think can be something for Bayley when she's champion as mm-hmm. a face against the heel. But yes, definitely. Now, while I think that women's division on Raw is a little weaker than SmackDown, actually.
Yeah.
Whereas with the men, it's completely opposite. So we'll see where they shift everything, but as long as both sides are more even, there are definitely some deepness to this to this women's division.
And we're not used to doing a show this early, but so correct me, have they ever done a proper Asuka Rhea Ripley?
I don't think. Maybe a TV match or two that didn't really mean anything.
Yeah, so there's that.
Never thinking yet, yeah.
If they break up damage control. Because Asuka seems almost bulletproof half the time. She loses and people are like, no, Asuka still rules. But, I mean, there's that. There's also, I mean, if they break up damage control somehow, Io Shirai, and then, Io Sky, and then also Kairi Sane, Pat McAfee kept calling Io Sky last night. But no, so I mean, you've got three there. Dakota Kai, I mean, no, not really. You know, she's always going to be the hang around middle. I mean, I guess they could run if they would build Shayna up. They could do that too. But it's always like people work to get people up. So, but yeah, I like we said, it was going to be good. It was. I don't think it reached like Trish and Becky or Charlotte, Rhea, but still good. This was a surprise that they followed it with the ladder match. This is where I thought Dom and Ray would be.
No. They kept the energy up, and this ended up being my favorite ladder match in years. This was a lot of fun.
I think what made it fun was the shock of Waller and Theory winning the SmackDown titles.
Yeah, that plus Truth. Yeah. Truth was really funny and good in it, and then everyone else just, you know, was just doing, you know, killing themselves with the big spots. Yeah.
What I really enjoyed, though, was, like, they won, and they were going to get the Grace. It was Waller, right? Yeah. He went up to grab the titles, and I was like, all right, whatever. And then he takes it off the hook, and the whole crowd goes, what? Like, hang on a second. And instantly cements, like, wait a minute, anything can happen in this match. So that every time they were climbing that ladder, and there was another point where they were by themselves, that crowd was like, you've got to be kidding. And I'm like, someone's got to stop them. And, like, they would go to that the tall shot, and you could see, like, one of the wrestlers watching. So you're like, oh, they're going to come in and stop. Oh, they're going to come in and stop. So, you know, if you pay attention to that sort of stuff, you know the drama's a little lower. But, yeah, I did not expect them to win. That was not someone we called. But then some of the spots, that – what is, like, that – if the move Ciampa does?
Oh, the – Sheamus also does it. What is – I don't remember. Nobody calls it.
Yeah, he calls it something different, but who did he give it to? Was it Finn? No.
No, it was Bate.
Yeah. And
that was crazy. That looked amazing.
But it was perfect.
It was perfect. It
Bate
was absolutely perfect.
Came down flat on his back. Ciampa came down on his back. It was like, "Oh, professionals." Cuz I'm like, "Oh, no, don't do this." Like, "No." Cuz it was worse than when he did it to Cole at the one of the NXT pay-per-views through a table. And I'm like, no. Like, oh, God. I just knowing, like, the very real wear and tear it does on these guys, you know, that we didn't know 10, 20 years ago. And especially with Ciampa's, like, history and neck problems.
Oh, yeah.
Don't. And then what did Gargano did? What is Gargano? Was it a DDT off the ladder through the table outside?
Yes, that was, yes, that was pretty wild, too, yes.
And real out of a quick fashion aside, because I'm a fashionista, no more cowboy hats for Gargano. That didn't work. He looked like a little kid playing cowboy, which I know was supposed to be for Shawn Michaels. It didn't work. So anyways, back to the match. Finn Balor, again, seemed kind of like an afterthought.
He did.
It's so weird.
He feels like... I don't know what else he'll do with the he would do with his life, but he feels done with this.
Yeah, I mean, even backstage, he's not really saying much anymore. I mean, they had matching outfits. I mean, that doesn't really mean much, but it just doesn't seem like it was there like it was before. Like before, he was having fun.
Yeah, it feels like ever since the Judgment Day was downgraded after Survivor Series, he's been kind of down in the dumps.
Yeah. So and
if he's one of those guys who wants to go to AEW because of the freedom to wrestle whoever and go to Japan and go to Mexico, I guess if that's his idea of a good time, you know, good for him. But yeah. We'll see.
But he was the guy that was saying he was having a good time, and it just doesn't seem like he is anymore. I don't know. At least it's coming across on TV that way. Who knows? Maybe that's where he's going with this. You know. This had J.D. McDonagh in it, right?
Yes, he did his. Yes, he did a run in. Yeah,
and he's just there to take bumps. I thoroughly enjoyed it. He's the one that gets tossed off the ladder through tables outside. Good for him. Miz and Truth. They didn't play into the fact that Truth was scared of ladders. He established this a long time ago, but. I'd loved, like, and it was, again, I know it's stupid, but done right, you can get away with it, where Truth was asking for the tag.
Yes.
He was asking Judgment Day for the tag.
No, I think he was asking Miz. I think we've gotten past that part, yeah.
Okay, all right. See, even the announcers were kind of like, why is he asking them for the tag? But then the crowd starts, like, getting into it, like, oh, my God, yeah, tag him. Miz does. The place goes crazy. And it's like, I don't know if anyone else can pull something like that off.
No, and then of course he was going for the pin, counts his own pin. Yeah, no, that was all good. Then doing all the Cena moves, including a Cena move to end the match. Like, that's about a 5-year bit they paid off.
Yep. And then Truth is climbing that ladder the first time, and I'm like, come on. And then I can't remember who stopped him. It may have been Priest the first time.
And that's well, they had a little awkward ending because they needed to get that one ladder out of there. So that thing was going to kill somebody.
Yeah, so that's what – all right, so, yeah, that referee was yelling at him. And he actually turned around. It was like, what the fuck? Which, by the way, they are dropping F-bombs all over the place now.
Oh, they are, yes.
That's crazy. So – and then finally, Priest's like, oh, whatever. And it's too bad they couldn't have played into it because it was just awkward how Truth just gave him another ladder. And even McAfee goes, did he just hand the ladder to Priest? So, and then, yeah, but that end, we all called it, but the end was so satisfying. Like, yeah, finally, R-Truth wins, and then wins a title, wins at WrestleMania, and the announcers played it up, actually acknowledged it. Like, yeah, finally. So, we had our feel-good moments in this show, depending on your point of view, of course. So, what... So I have two left. What's the third one?
Jimmy and Jay.
Oh, well, there's a reason I forgot about that.
Yeah.
As expected.
Yeah, this whole thing was a disaster from the beginning. From, you know, they started with an idea of, hey, we got Lil Wayne to come out with you, Jay.
Oh, boy.
We don't. And from there, we have no idea how this is going to fit.
Listen, I don't really listen to rap anymore because it's trash. But then someone's saying Lil Wayne's the best rapper ever, and then he comes out doing that?
Yeah, that was not good.
That's your example, huh?
Yeah, somebody had an idea, and then they had no idea what to do with it, because they have nothing to do with each other. Exactly. They don't use his songs. They, you know, he's rambling during Jay's song, and
it turns into now, so...
Huh? What?
It's most modern day rap is just the same. It's mumble, inane, yes, it's bullshit. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, yes.
But yeah, I.
And for some reason they did not. We're not able to get a good overhead shot of everyone in the crowd doing Jay's dance, which that should have been the. You know, that should have been the priority. And but what they did show looked cool. So again, Jay's super over, and I mean, thank God this is over for him.
So see, all right. The crowd shot thing is Jay's fault. When he's waiting for music cues now. He used to just get on the ropes and start doing it. And everyone will start doing it, and I'm like, oh, wait, he's not doing it anymore. And then he waits for the music cue to hit. Then all of a sudden he starts moving his arms. And it's like, well, everyone was primed. You took it away from him, and now all of a sudden you expect him to do it again. And yeah. It finally did take off, but I've noticed he's been doing that. And it's like, no, dude, it's the natural thing is just get up there and go, you know? So, but yeah, we said this wasn't going to be that good, and it wasn't. And
no, it was all, it didn't have any chemistry. No. It was all that, you know, that the thing that happens during a number of matches during this Bloodline run where it's, you're juggling some Shakespearean oratory during the middle of the damn match and, you know, you're my brother, I love you, and all that, yeah. And then the fake hug that Jay fell for, like, it was, everything was bad about
right.
this.
So
the only thing that's good was Jay won clean, and hopefully it's over, it's just over.
Well, the best part of this match was the video package.
Yeah,
that was great. Was good. And then this is what we got, but again, it's like, it's not even a letdown. We both knew, I think everyone knows, the brother-brother matches don't work. Everyone,
unless you're Bret and Owen Hart, yeah.
Well, but so everyone goes crazy about that match now. At the time?
No, people loved that match at the time.
They liked it, but it didn't get a huge reaction. Because people just don't, like, want to see it. And that was one of the Vince McMahon things that I was like, I don't know about that. But yeah, it's true. The Hardys was a giant dud because no one wanted it. But then, like, we talked about it on the preview. Jimmy is just an afterthought for the most part. So then all of a sudden to have this happen, it was like there was no momentum behind him. And then really how it should have ended, which would I think would have been better, is Jimmy, like, say all that stuff. Jay goes, I forgive you. Kicks him in the face. Splash. And that's it.
Yes, he shouldn't have fallen for it.
Yeah,
that was really dumb.
Yeah, so you don't know if he was being sincere, but Jay, having learned, nah.
Yes, that's the thing. The learn your lesson part, yes.
Yeah.
And then, stupid Sting, yes.
Yes. Yeah, we don't need another one. We just got rid of him, so. And then we have the main event. And then the show's over, so.
No. You're forgetting a match. You're forgetting the Intercontinental Championship match.
I would love to forget this match. That'd be great. I get far too involved in stuff sometimes in a sport and entertainment that is clearly defined, predetermined, whatever. I knew this was coming. It's like we talked about in the preview. Wrong guy. It's just the wrong guy. And if this would have been Gable, it would have been like, okay, this makes absolute sense. Like, he finally, because that's the story of Chad Gable with WWE, with Triple H writing for him, or under Triple H's guidance. He loses, and then finally wins. But this time, it's like he loses, and that's it. Now, I'm sure there's going to be something with him and Sammy now, which is fine, but...
Yeah. Yeah, they've set Gable and Bronson Reed as Sammy's opponents, which that just sets the Intercontinental purely in the mid-card with no...
Yeah.
It's not that every Gunther opponent was, like, this big name or anything. There were times where it felt like Gunther was just... Once again, it's... Like, some of the last 6 months of Gunther's reign felt like he was just... He was not working... How do I put this? He was underachieving. It was almost purposely underachieving.
In a way, they also started including this whole I'm better than everyone thing.
Yeah.
And him not taking people seriously. And then having to pull it out at the end. But I do see what you mean. And really... If it would have been Jey Uso as well, I think that would have been okay as well.
Jey Uso would have been a good choice, yes.
And they had the opportunity.
Jey Uso would have been a great choice. It would have been better than actually going through. They probably should have just blown off Jay and Jimmy a while ago and just gone with Jay.
Survivor
yes.
Series would have been fine.
Yes.
Or Royal Rumble, for that matter.
But they had the idea of hey, the family versus family deal worked out so and building up and keeping them apart enough and building it up for months and months worked for Ray and Dom last year that we could do it again, but
yeah,
Jimmy and Jay just didn't have the same dynamic. You know, they forgot about each other too much, really. Yeah. And Jimmy on his own, I think he might be in trouble.
So
unless him and Solo are going to become a regular tag team, which at this point, that's probably what they just should do.
And I guess it's save more for the main event, but Jay and Jimmy also, where was Solo all night? I mean, nowhere.
He was not. He was nowhere.
Interesting.
They must be saving that. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah. Back to my favorite match of the night.
Well, I was gonna say we can just move on to the main event if you want. So. No.
But you know what? In all honesty, really, really good match.
Yeah.
Probably maybe the best or second best match on the show, and yeah. So yeah.
No, I think it was.
And now
the worst
to
match.
What ended up? Okay, now we can move on.
Well, no.
To
in
what
all
ended
seriousness.
Up being,
well, in all seriousness, with the Gunther Sammy thing, that buildup of him talking to his kid backstage, the kid clearly not being in on that this is fake, he's like, hey, can you just play your music? Like, he doesn't even care. He doesn't say, I believe in you, Dad, like he's supposed to. I'd loved it. Like, the kid's like, no, don't pull me into this bullshit. It should be Chad Gable. Even the kid knows. So
yeah,
then follow,
that was Gable.
They
then
follow
it was
Sammy.
Kevin,
that was cool. Like, I gotta admit, like, the build going into, out to the ramp.
Yeah,
Owens,
that was really good.
Yeah, and the match was good. I mean, there's no way around it. And I know our friend Steve also, like, agrees with other people. It was just, you know, Gunther's dominating. And I know that the Brainbuster was a wicked-ass move, right? But it was that, two moves, the end. It came up out of the blue after Sammy should be struggling. So, if it would have...
He was powered by love.
God, I hate you. That's a Kevin line. Oh, God, I can't escape you guys. Jesus. But, I mean, I get the firing up. I understand it's the underdog. I knew it was coming. It just seemed anticlimactic. Like, I don't know what more I would have wanted. Even if he would have given him, like, 6 Huluva kicks. And, yes, even, like discounting what I just said. If Sammy's like, nope, puts him back, gives him another one. Puts him back, gives him another one. And, like, just, like no one's ever treated Gunther before. And then pins him. I would have been like, holy shit, that was great. It just seems so out of the blue. And one other nitpick, and this is my own fault. Every time Gunther takes his coat off, I almost said Marcel Barteau, Ludwig Kaiser catches his jacket. It would have been cool if this was the one time he didn't. And then Gunther loses.
Yeah, you could have done that.
But yeah, so it would have been kind of cool that way. Also, you know, kind of like telling everyone, hey, I'm losing. But at the same time, you know, little things like that. So, but yeah, I was legitimately unhappy last night. And it clearly affected my view of the main event. And apparently I fell asleep. She told me, she's like, you've missed like 20 minutes of this match. I was like, what?
Well, that's because it was the second longest match in WrestleMania history.
What? But was it because of the entrances?
No. From bell to bell, it was the second longest match in WrestleMania history, other than of course Bret and Shawn.
Wow, I didn't know that. Well,
no. Someone said that, and then of course with entrances and everything, the whole package, it's the longest. It is the longest in history, because the whole thing went an hour 15. If you go from the start of the video package to the closing credit, the closing credits?
Yeah.
It's about an hour 15.
Oh, my God. See, I was joking. I think I told you 10 o'clock, this ain't starting until 10:30. It was 10:27?
Yeah.
And then they just stood there in the ring, and I'm like, oh, my God. But I think I actually had, like, an anger adrenaline dump. I don't remember. So that's why I woke up, and I thought I'd seen the match. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I even told you, I was like, why the hell is all this happening? You're like, because he threatened to fire him. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I don't remember it. So that's why I had to watch it. That's why I was a little late. I had to watch it again. And my view of the match changed, obviously. I thought it was pretty good. Rock did not embarrass himself at all.
No, he did not. He did not. No, understand. I like a good chunk of the match. It definitely could have been shorter.
Yes.
It definitely could have been shorter. But yeah, I like what they did. I think, once again, Rock looked really good. Yes. He would absolutely be able to get himself ready for a singles match, you know, this year, next year, whatever. And so, again, so that's a really good part of this. And, you know, yeah, they did, yes, again. Once again, and yes, the fact that, you know, it went into the crowd and spent so long out there and then settled into a regular tag match and, you know, they were doing tags. That's that Paul Heyman ECW tag match framework.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the biggest fan of that because it doesn't make sense.
No, really, a lot of this doesn't make sense. And I think a lot of this match is, like, always predicated on what happens today.
Yes, it is. It very much is. Because, yes, they beat Cody. Like,
yes.
Like, I thought they were going to lose. And, you know, and either one of them could have taken the fall, and you could have, you know, Roman Reigns getting, you know, some kind of distraction or interference, and Roman hits the quick spear just like the end of last year's wrestle, because that is what they did.
Yes.
And that's where Cody, you know, going to the ropes again for that last crossroads and getting nailed again. That was kind of silly. He should have learned his lesson by now about that.
Right. Especially with the way all this has gone. Like, yeah. And
But yes, whenever a big star takes a loss like that, where they take a big move, and then either, whether it's a tag match or a singles match, then another big move, and then another big move, and they have no comeback from it, that's always jarring. Mm-hmm. In a way, it can be used for good, And in this case, it can be used for good, you know, as long as everything works out tonight. Yeah.
Right. And that's, I guess, like, to judge this match on its own, you can't right now. Because everything is predicated on what happens tonight's show. If I don't really think it's the unthinkable, but say Roman wins tonight, Cody's cooked. He is done.
It is done, which is why I don't think they can go there. I don't think that they have any thoughts of going there at this point. Once the change took place in, you know, late January, early February, they knew they could not justify Roman winning a match at WrestleMania and getting to September and breaking that Hogan number.
Yeah.
That all went out the window when the We Want Cody stuff started.
Well, I mean,
I think they know that. They have to know that.
But it's like, okay, so here's some of the problems I have regardless. So you got this match that goes on. Rock threatens to fire the referee, okay? So I know they want to, like, try and blur lines. So they keep saying he's on the board. You know, he's one of the owners. He does this. Or he's the boss. All that stuff, right? The problem with that is, well, one, we all know that's not how it works. Get away from that. But then what doesn't prevent the same thing from happening tonight? Why wouldn't they just disqualify Cody as soon as the match starts? I wish there was a more clearly defined criteria for what this is. But even then, it doesn't matter if Rock can pull stuff like this. And I know Rock's not in this match, but it's the Bloodline rules. So he could be the referee. You know what I mean?
But he did say, but he said it's anything goes, so you can't call it a disqualification.
Okay. So, well, then you can, like, one count him. Oh, well, it's one Bloodline rules means it's one count for the challenger.
Yeah, I know. Ever since heel authority figures were introduced, yes, that's been the logical flaw. I know.
Yeah, and that's always my problem with this, and I know everyone keeps on. This is gonna be like the Avengers moment. Everyone's coming together, and I'm like, okay, that's what everyone thinks, and they keep like hinting like Rock's on the press conference last night. He just like Rock is so in movie mode that he's basically giving stuff away.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was a smart idea, because he even said in the press conference that, like, well, how can we finish Cody's story? And it's like, well, you kind of just gave it away, which is fine, which is what should happen. Like, I know, like, the Avengers, everyone keeps using that as an example. You left that theater. No, you're fine. You left that theater for Infinity War going, what the hell?
Okay. That's what last night was, yes.
And now I want to see how it happens. And then this is like, okay, you know what the ending should be. But they've given you so much in the past that, yeah, like, it should have been Sammy in Montreal. It should have been Drew in Scotland. It should, or no, that wasn't in Scotland, was it? Wherever it was. You know, it should have been this. It should have been this. And it just hasn't been. And that's not how those Avengers movies worked.
No, that's...
So, it really is like... And it's a good and bad thing. It's good because we don't know what's going to happen tonight, no matter what any of us says. But is it to the point where everyone's just building it up? Austin's going to come in and take out The Rock. John Cena's going to come in and he's going to take Solo away. And it's like, we don't know this.
That's true. That is true. That is so true. We do not know if any of this is... I think it will. The Cena part, I think, is because he's still so in. The Austin part, I have no idea. I have no idea where Steve Austin is today.
Someone made a joke. He, like, posted a video of him playing with his chickens in the barn or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which just
of course,
seems like...
Of course, filmed whatever. Yeah, yeah. Who knows? Yes.
But
yeah, then, yeah, yeah, people are built, you know, once again, you know, Rock taking that last stunner of all time and this crowd's going to explode. Yes, people are building that in their heads. And yeah, what if it doesn't happen? I agree. What if it is just Sammy and Kevin and Jay getting involved and not, you know, Rock, Austin, and Cena? Are people going to be disappointed?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then you know, people are always talking about Jacob Fatu still out there because he no-showed one of the GCW events, I guess. But it's also like that's what he does.
That would be for the future, yeah. But yeah, if he's developing a reputation for no-showing events, and I also heard, what is it, he double books events and then, you know, puts the promoters over a barrel to outbid each other for the one he's actually going to show up to.
Oh wow, how did you hear that one? Jesus.
That was out there a while ago about him. I can see WWE never taking a chance on him if that's all true. Yeah.
Yeah, which sucks because he's got a good look and he can go. But anyways, but it's like, so watching that, like the definitive defeat of Cody last night, like it was spinebuster, rock bottom end. And it was like, wait, what? And like, I guess it's Rock just standing there. Like, not even, he didn't even break a sweat, which is pretty crazy.
Well, nobody did.
That's
so cool. Yeah.
that's very true. And then, you know, like Roman's bleeding, he's all beat up and Rock's just standing like he's fine. And it was like, this is a little too much.
Yep.
But
I mean, if he worked this whole thing, pins the future champion, and then never comes back for another match.
Uh-huh.
I guess you could say it's a baller move, but oh my god.
No, it's a dickhead move, because that's what he did with the DC movies. He was coming in, and he was trying to, behind the scenes, take over all of the DC movies so that Black Adam would be the focus of the entire thing. Including, like, being more powerful than Superman.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's not living out his Black Adam dream now. You know? Like, I would hope. And Triple H
Go ahead.
Triple H has talked glowingly. Like, okay, it was Rock's idea to change this. But Rock said, hey, no, the fans want to see, so how about I just be the ultimate bad guy, which is what Black Adam was supposed to be, you know, in his vision. I don't know, man. There's something about The Rock that's not trustworthy.
He's been exposed a lot in recent times, but once again, when he turns it on, he's, you know, in the context of WWE, he's still The Rock.
Oh yeah.
And as he did last night, I mean, they have to do a, you know, before we ever get to Rock Roman, Rock now owes Cody a one-on-one match where the Cody wins, basically.
Absolutely does. And yeah, and
And I assume it'll happen. If it happens at SummerSlam with us there, awesome. I'll send a higher plane. But
I didn't think of that. I was thinking Saudi, but
maybe be Saudi, but it's kind of depends when what is it, the Mark Coleman movie he's filming next, or Mark which
I don't know what he's doing.
He's definitely got a movie through the spring, so
okay,
he wouldn't be available before the summer maybe. Oh. He's done. Who knows? But he oh, you know, Rock Roman be damned. You know, getting to that, he owes Cody a win back. Absolutely.
Yeah, in decisive fashion too, not some goofy roll up or whatever else. I mean, and that's what you would hope. Like, and it's, I guess it's almost unfair, but at the same time, it's not that unfair, because like even Rock and Vin Diesel couldn't get along to, like, lose movie fights to each other. To the point where Rock was like, I'm not doing these anymore because of you. And it's like, well, who's the bigger baby? And then Rock comes back in the last one. And you're like, okay. So he does. Rock's a great politician, which is why everyone started talking about him running for president.
Oh, boy.
So
We talked about how he stepped in it, didn't we? Or have we not talked since then?
No, what do you mean?
Did he on the Pat McAfee show where Cody had to bring up, you know, because Pat's doing his total pro bloodline thing, and that's like, you know, Cody's in his suit and all the thing, and you know, Pat says to Cody, something like, yeah, what a politician. He's like, I'm a politician? I'm not the one who was on Fox News this morning.
Oh, yeah. No, no, we have not. Yeah. I saw that. I'm like, oh, boy. So,
yeah.
What a surprise, though. A millionaire, like, over umpteenth time millionaire, isn't a Democrat. What a fucking surprise.
It's like, yeah, that's true.
What do you think? Like, anyone who's rich and is a Democrat is a liar. It's just plain and simple. So, but yeah, it's the fun aspect of WrestleMania for a change. We don't know what's going to happen. But for me, it's like a temper of expectations. There is no guarantee any of the shit we're talking about. Everyone keeps talking about this is the Avengers moment. I'll go back to that. There ain't no guarantee that's what happens. It could just be Jay, Kevin, and Sammy, or Sammy as well, and Seth.
But in a way, that is the Avengers, because it's the people who've been involved in the storyline the whole time.
Well, true, but I'm sorry. I meant, like, bringing in, like,
no, Austin. I mean, they want the superheroes. They want the, you know, two of the four or five biggest stars of all time to show up in this match.
Yeah, and especially
and wreck shit.
When they had, like, when Rock was beating on Cody, and then they had that perfectly placed truck that just happens to have Cena and Austin on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, and I'm glad they do that stuff. And I hope it's all true, because it will make for one hell of an ending, because this is going to be a long-ass show again.
Yes.
On a Sunday. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
For me, thankfully, it's Central Time, so it'll be about 10 o'clock. So yeah. I'll be okay.
I'm not complaining. Like, it sounds like I'm complaining about it, but it's like, this is my shit. It just is. Like, no one, my friend Greg was hitting me up yesterday. Hey, we're going to lunch over here. What did I tell you? I have barely left the house since Thursday. This is not an exaggeration. This is what I do. Like, for college football, I'll watch Michigan, and then I'll go do stuff. That wasn't always the case. But, like, this one weekend a year, leave me the fuck alone. I want to enjoy this ridiculously goofy form of entertainment. I want to get into it, which I clearly did, because when Gunther lost, I yelled, fuck this.
When
R-Truth was climbing the ladder, I was yelling, get your ass up there. Like, and I think I've said this to you before, but there's nothing more insulting than when you talk about wrestling with someone, and when the first thing they say, well, you know, that's fake. One, yes, everyone knows. It's like, it's a predetermined thing. We get it. And yes, you can use the movie examples, whatever, right?
Yeah.
The other thing that no one really thinks about is if somebody tells you that or says that to you, that you don't sit there and look at them and go, fuck you. Like, you think I'm stupid? It's they're insulting you by saying that. And, like, I don't have time for people like you. So, but yes, no, maybe I do have some lingering hangover from last night. So, not in an actual drinking sort of way. So, still wrong guy won. So, anyways, I guess we should get out of here. We're approaching WrestleMania's length for the show. So, real quick. Let's see. I forgot. I have our predictions up. Okay. So. We both chose Miz and R-Truth for Raw. Nice. Mm-hmm. We both got SmackDown wrong.
Yeah.
So there's that. You got Rey and, well, you said Dragon Lee. You didn't know. So Rey won. I called it wrong. We got the women right. We got Jey Uso right. We got Rhea correct. You picked Gunther.
Wow. Yeah. Should have gone with my heart.
Yeah.
So should you have, actually.
Yeah. Oh, no, I picked Sammy. I wrote down Sammy.
Well, that's what I said. You should have gone with your heart then.
Yeah, true. And then you picked Rock Roman. I picked Cody Seth. So I think we ended up even. I didn't tally it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And just for those listening, we picked Hurt Business, or whatever they're called now, LA Knight, Logan Paul. You picked Bailey, I picked EO, Drew, and Cody. So there's not a whole lot of difference. And I think across the board, in our Stunt Granny universe, we all picked Cody. So, yep. We all stand a chance of being absolutely fucking wrong. So, I just hope it's good. I hope it's worth the cluster that they're sacrificing a match for. Not sacrificing, but replacing. So, but we will see. As of this recording, it is 1 o'clock Eastern, so we'll see 11 hours from now when the match ends finally. So, but I'm going to get out of here. I hope everyone's enjoying their wrestling weekend the way we are. And Kevin and Chris will be back Tuesday for Stunk Radio Audio 944, unless we somehow do one tomorrow. But we'll see. And I'm out of here. Take care, everyone.
All right. Check us out on Stitcher. And is that gone again?
Yeah, Stitcher's gone.
God damn it. I keep getting this wrong. Spotify.
I think
mostly everyone uses Spotify at this point. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Rand is at Stunt Granny. I'm at Stunt Cali. That's at Granny Maze. Kevin is at DeFrango11. We'll get back at you later.